October 13, 1917 was a cold, rainy day in the village of Fatima, Portugal. But the weather didn't stop thousands of devout Portuguese Catholics from gathering in a local field. Getting a little wet was a small price to witness a miracle.
Three local children recently claimed to have seen the Virgin Mary, and she told them a miracle would happen in this very place on this specific date.
Some brought their sick and injured loved ones to be cured of their ailments. Others came to pray for the safe return of their fathers and brothers from battle. World War I had been raging for over 3 years.
Around noon, the crowd huddled under scattered umbrellas, waiting for something to happen. One of the three children asked everyone to put their umbrellas away. She claimed the miracle would happen any minute.
As the umbrellas closed, the rain clouds parted as if on cue. Sunshine warmed the faces of the crowd, and then the sun moved.
To the crowd, the giant ball of fire appeared to be coming toward them. Panicked cries erupted. The sun looked like it was falling to earth. There was nowhere to run. They were all going to die.
Welcome to Unexplained Mysteries, a Spotify original from Parcast. I'm your host, Molly.
And I'm your host, Richard. In life, there's so much we don't know, but in this show, we don't take we don't know for an answer.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, we investigate the greatest mysteries of history and life on Earth. You can find episodes of Unexplained Mysteries and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is our first episode on the miracle of the sun, a miraculous solar phenomenon allegedly prophesied by three young Portuguese cousins in the early 20th century.
Today, we'll discuss the lives of the children involved and look at the months leading up to the miracle of the sun. We'll investigate the kids' claims that the Virgin Mary appeared to them multiple times leading up to the event.
Next time, we'll explore what may have actually happened in the sky that day and whether it was a divine miracle or something even more psychologically disturbing.
We have all that and more coming up. Stay with us.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin Underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
On a spring day in 1916, a trio of children from the village of Fatima headed out to the countryside with a flock of sheep. 9-year-old Lucia led her two cousins, 8-year-old Francisco and 6-year-old Jacinta, into the rich pasture land outside of their town.
This was a daily routine for the three kids. Their families were shepherds, and the children spent most of their days with the sheep. They played games and chased each other around the fields. It was a peaceful, mostly uneventful life.
The children and their families were devout Catholics. Every morning before breakfast, Francisco and Jacinta would say their prayers. Lucia often carried a rosary with her into the pasture.
On this particular morning, it started to drizzle while the children watched the flock. So they decided to hike up to a nearby cave and wait for the rain to pass. In the cave, the kids took a lunch break, which included saying their prayers before breaking bread.
Not long afterward, gusts of wind began to shake the olive trees outside of the cave. Startled by the severity of the breeze, the children peeked outside to witness the storm.
But there was no storm. As the kids stood in the mouth of the cave, the sky cleared and a blinding light suddenly appeared above the nearby trees.
The children were confused. The light wasn't coming from the sun, and it didn't look like anything they'd ever seen. But one thing was certain. The light was coming toward them.
As it got closer, the kids saw it take on a familiar shape until they could distinctly make out a human face. Then the light spoke.
The children were terrified by its deep, masculine voice. Little Jacinta started to cry, but the eldest, Lucia, bravely stepped forward to protect her cousins.
There was no reason to fear. The human figure comforted them, claiming that he wasn't there to harm the kids. He was an angel of peace, sent from God.
The angel knelt to pray. Unsure of what else to do, the three children genuflected with him.
The angel asked God to pardon the faithless. The children repeated the angel's prayer as the words echoed throughout the cave. But as soon as the prayer was complete, the angel vanished.
Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta were shocked and bewildered by the experience. They were once again alone in the cave, so shaken they could hardly speak.
In the days that followed, all three children agreed that they shouldn't tell anyone about the angel's visit. It would be too difficult to explain, and they feared no one would believe them.
But as months passed, the angel of peace appeared two more times, always while the three kids were alone together in the fields. Each time he prayed with the children and encouraged them to make sacrifices in the name of God.
The angel apparently wasn't clear about the kind of sacrifices, but he said that if they repented for the sinners of Portugal, peace would finally come to their country, something the children desperately wanted. After all, Portugal was at war.
Around the time the angel first appeared, Portugal officially joined World War I. Germany invaded Portuguese colonies in Africa, and the political tensions came to a head. The Portuguese government sent troops to the Western Front, where the trenches were growing bloodier by the day.
Throughout the summer of 1916, more Portuguese soldiers were dispatched to distant battlefields. The three children saw Fatima's population dwindle. As it did, they spent more time together, talking about their shared secret.
In time, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta became obsessed with the angel's visits. They were a welcome distraction from the war, and as ardent Catholics, they felt blessed by the angel's presence.
In the fall of 1916, about 6 months after the first sighting, the angel visited the children in the field one last time. During this visit, he carried an ornate cup filled with blood.
He told the children to drink from the chalice as an act of Holy Communion. It supposedly would serve as repentance for the sins of the world. They did, and once again, the angel vanished.
After this final interaction, the children never saw the angel again. Months went by, and the kids continued with their usual daily shepherding and prayer.
Everything seemed to return to normal until May 13, 1917.
In the spring of 1917, a year into the war, the end was nowhere in sight. The village of Fatima was quieter than ever as more men left to join the war effort.
Meanwhile, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta still spent their days either in the fields or at church. May 13th was a Sunday, so the three cousins spent their mornings at Mass. Afterward, they took the sheep to a pasture called Cova da Iria.
It had been months since the last angel sighting, so the kids expected to spend the afternoon playing their usual games and praying. But shortly after arriving, their play was interrupted by a familiar sight. an incredibly bright light appeared in the sky.
At first, they assumed it was the Angel of Peace visiting them again. But the children couldn't see any shape or face in the glare. As they shielded their eyes from the blinding light, they realized this time was different.
A woman stood before them. She told them that she had come from heaven and that the three children were about to endure great suffering.
Coming up, the children of Fatima find themselves in grave danger.
Every so often, something so impactful happens, it has the power to capture the attention of a whole country. An event so deadly or dumbfounding, it has no choice but to live on in infamy. Hi, Parcasters. It's Ashley Flowers, and I'm exposing the most sinister cases from the darkest corners of the globe in my new True Crime Limited series, International Infamy. Every Tuesday, come along as I guide you on a wicked world tour. 15 different countries, 15 infamous crimes. Take a trip to Iceland, where six people confessed to a murder that never actually happened. Journey to Mexico, where a lucha libre wrestler moonlights as a serial killer. And travel to New Zealand, where two friends hatch a deadly plan to become famous. Each episode of International Infamy explores the twists and turns of a notoriously high-profile case, zeroing in on the cultural details which make the crime unique to its location, and explaining why it couldn't have happened anywhere else. Follow my new Spotify original from Parcast, International Infamy with Ashley Flowers, and catch a new episode every week. Listen free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Now, back to the story.
During the summer of 1916, three young Portuguese cousins claimed they were visited by an apparition of an angel. This angel prayed with them and allegedly asked them to repent for the sins of the world, which was currently at war. After several months of visitations, the angel reportedly stopped appearing.
Then on May 13, 1917, the three children, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, saw another blinding light outside the village of Fatima. This time, it was a woman.
When she first approached the children, the kids backed away in fear. They didn't know who or what she was. She could be another angel or a demon.
10-year-old Lucia, the eldest of the cousins, asked the woman in white to identify herself, but the woman didn't respond.
Instead, she asked the three kids to return to the same spot at the same time on the 13th day of six consecutive months.
The children begged to know why, but the woman wouldn't answer. She said she'd tell them who she was and what she wanted later, so long as the children promised to return at the prescribed time.
Then she asked the same question the angel had a year before. Would the children make sacrifices in the name of God?
Unlike the angel, the woman was willing to provide a few details about the sacrifices. She explained that they'd need to accept the difficulties sent their way from God, and this would include suffering.
She assured them that their commitment would help curb the world's pain. If the children prayed the rosary and dedicated themselves to reparations, they would not only go to heaven, they would end the war.
Without hesitation, all three children agreed to do what she asked. The woman opened her hands as if to embrace them, and the kids said it felt like she was touching their souls. Then she vanished.
The children believed the fate of their country and possibly all of Europe was in their hands. So as the woman requested, they continued to pray the rosary every day. They also began referring to her as Our Lady and swore to return on June 13th.
Almost immediately after the visit, Lucia told her cousins that they should keep Our Lady a secret from the rest of the community. Like the angel's appearance, it would be hard for people to believe.
Jacinta and Francisco agreed not to tell a soul. But Lucia suspected that Jacinta, being so young, would have trouble keeping a secret from her parents. And her suspicions were correct.
That evening, little Jacinta told her family about the visitations from Our Lady and the Angel of Peace. But for better or worse, her parents thought she was making it up, possibly as a coping mechanism for the pain and suffering brought on by the war.
Despite the family's disbelief, though, rumors spread around the community that the three children saw angels. Like Jacinta's parents, most suspected the kids were lying for attention.
But the lack of support didn't bother Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta. They knew what they had to do. Travel to the same spot in the field each month, just as Our Lady had requested. And even though most people said they didn't believe the children, a few curious villagers tagged along on June 13, 1917.
Once they reached the sacred spot in the field, the cousins repeated everything they had done before. Around lunchtime, they prayed their rosaries among the sheep. Just moments later, the woman appeared before the children in a flash of light. But the villagers who tagged along apparently couldn't see her.
So they laughed at the kids. That is, until Our Lady began to speak.
While they didn't see her, they allegedly could hear her. And Our Lady's gentle voice emanated across the field.
Lucia took it upon herself to request a favor, as if to prove a point to the skeptical villagers. Lucia asked Our Lady if she had the power to cure a man who was sick in the village.
After a moment of silence, Our Lady assured them that the ill man would be cured within a year. Then, as always, Our Lady vanished.
After this visit, some doubtful members of the town started a rumor that Our Lady wasn't an angel at all, but something more sinister. They reasoned, while the children called her Our Lady, the woman hadn't actually told them who she was.
The skeptical villagers claimed she could still be a demon in disguise, or a figment of a child's imagination.
Jacinta and Francisco largely ignored the slander and jokes, but little Lucia was frightened by what people were saying. Before the next scheduled visit on July 13th, Lucia told her cousins she wasn't going to Cova de Iria anymore. She feared that Our Lady was actually the devil.
Jacinta and Francisco assured her Our Lady was only going to help them end the war. After some convincing, Lucia relented and decided to join them on the morning of the 13th, along with another group of villagers.
When the children reached Cova de Iria on July 13th, 1917, they were allegedly met by another crowd from Fatima. They prayed the rosary as usual, and Our Lady appeared at the usual time.
Once again, the children were the only ones who could see her. They listened intently as Our Lady spoke. Some villagers heard a gentle tone again, but this time they couldn't make out her words clearly.
Which made sense. Our Lady was about to tell the kids a secret.
On October 13th, she said she'd visit the field for the last time. If the children held up their promise to pray and meet her there, she would perform a miracle, one that would save countless lives by finally bringing an end to the war.
The children were so overwhelmed by this information, they could hardly speak.
The crowd aggressively pushed their way toward the cousins, begging to know what Our Lady said. Soon the children were cornered by demanding villagers. Many were demanding whether their personal prayers would be answered.
Luckily, members of their family were present who protected them from the mob. But this wasn't the last time that the cousins' relationship with Our Lady would threaten their safety.
From this point forward, more and more villagers became convinced that something powerful was happening at the Cova de Iria. It didn't take long for the rumors to reach the leaders of the village.
At the time, the chief magistrate of Fatima was Artur Oliveira Santos. He was skeptical of the children's stories and wanted firm answers. So on August 11th, 1917, Santos summoned Lucia and her father to court.
But Lucia refused to answer questions about Our Lady. Santos had no choice but to let her and her father leave the courthouse, but he remained determined to learn the truth of the matter before the next scheduled apparition 2 days later.
On August 13th, Santos showed up at Lucia's home, claiming he wanted to join the children at Cova de Iria to witness Our Lady's visit himself. He even offered to drive them in his carriage, and they accepted. They assumed that he had changed his mind and now believed in Our Lady too, but they were wrong.
Instead of taking the children to the field, Santos ordered the carriage on a detour. Without telling their parents, he brought them to his house, essentially kidnapping them.
Meanwhile, the other Fatima villagers hiked to the field to witness the fourth apparition of Our Lady. But with the children nowhere in sight, they were unsure whether Our Lady would appear.
Around midday, a flash of light appeared in the field, but quickly disappeared into the sky. Some villagers suggested it was Our Lady, but after seeing the children weren't present, she vanished as quickly as she'd appeared.
Others thought the flash was the sunlight playing a trick on their eyes and proof that the apparitions were nothing more than a childish story.
But regardless of what it was, Our Lady didn't appear to the villagers at the prescribed place and time.
Back in town, the children were still being held against their will by the magistrate, Santos. He separated all three cousins, trying to get them to admit they'd made up the whole story.
Santos was convinced that these supposed apparitions, who some villagers rumored to be the Virgin Mary, were part of an elaborate scheme concocted by the Catholic Church. He imagined the church wanted some sort of political leverage, and that worried him.
Santos threatened the children, even saying he'd put them in a boiling pot of oil. Although the children were frightened, they held firm. They weren't going to tell him anything. If that meant they'd die, so be it. They'd be happy in heaven.
For whatever reason, this was enough to convince the official that the children hadn't made up the story. At the very least, they believed they had seen the apparitions.
Later, Santos released the children back to their families, but the cousins worried that they'd failed to uphold their promise to Our Lady by missing their scheduled visit. They figured they'd have to wait another month to see her again, if she would even appear again after their failure. Luckily, they didn't have to wait that long.
On August 19th, 1917, just a week after the kidnapping and missed visit, the children went to another nearby hamlet called Valinos. They spent the afternoon playing in the fields. Then, out of nowhere, Our Lady appeared.
They were relieved to see her and told her they'd been worried after missing the last visit. Our Lady assured them the miracle would still happen in October if they kept praying.
As she faded from sight, Our Lady seemed to touch the branch of a nearby olive tree. The kids broke off the branch as a token of her visit and noticed it had a powerful perfume-like smell. They decided to bring the branch into town to prove to the village that Our Lady was real.
The people of Fatima were apparently fascinated by the intoxicating scent on the branch. The villagers took it as a physical sign that the children had indeed come in contact with Our Lady.
In time, most of the village believed that something divine was destined to happen in October, and the rumors of a divine power visiting Fatima spread faster than ever before.
Eventually, hundreds of people from villages across Portugal arrived for the fifth scheduled visit. The roads were crowded with people as they followed the three cousins out to the field on the 13th.
As she did in previous months, Lucia began praying the rosary, but this time she had a crowd reciting it with her. As they neared the end, a glint of light flashed through the sky. Our Lady appeared with a smile, visible only to the three cousins. She assured them that they had done well, and on the next visit, she would perform the promised miracle. Unfortunately, the event was not going to be as peaceful as expected.
Coming up, Our Lady's final visit defies the laws of physics.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Now, back to the story.
By October 1917, 10-year-old Lucia and her younger cousins, Francisco and Jacinta, claim to have been visited five times by an apparition that came to be known as Our Lady of Fatima. Their stories drove hundreds of curious tourists to the village and even resulted in the children being kidnapped by a local official.
But kidnapping couldn't compare to the dangers in store. As the date of the final scheduled visit approached, chaos engulfed the village.
Many prayed for some divine power to bring their loved ones home from World War I. But as more and more people poured into the village, the townspeople worried the children's lives may be at risk.
Hell-bent on having their prayers answered, people began threatening the cousins, saying that if Our Lady didn't appear on October 13th, they'd kill the kids.
Other visitors apparently arrived to prevent the apparition. Rumors spread that bombs would be placed at the Cova de Iria. Fearing for their safety, the children's parents planned to leave town so the kids couldn't be there on the 13th.
But despite rising tensions, all three children felt assured there was nothing to fear. They trusted Our Lady, but also they weren't afraid to die.
On the morning of October 13th, it was pouring rain and Fatima was in a state of chaos. A crowd, reportedly nearing 70,000 people, headed to Cova de Iria.
Newspapers sent reporters from Lisbon and other distant cities. Generally, papers didn't report on the happenings of such a small village like Fatima. But this was different. This was holy.
As the clock struck noon, the three cousins made their way into the field. The crowds grew more anxious. The other apparitions had happened around the lunch hour.
But 10 minutes passed, then 20. Nothing happened. People anxiously looked to the children for answers. In time, they started yelling at the kids.
Then, just before 1 p.m., Lucia called out to the crowd to put down their umbrellas, and a white light shot across the sky. The crowd went silent as the children shouted that Our Lady had appeared.
After speaking with Our Lady, Lucia instructed everyone to look directly into the sky. Nearly 70,000 people looked towards the heavens.
Then the clouds dispersed, as if some divine hand had pushed them aside. The sun emerged and the sky cleared. The muddy field and people's drenched clothing seemed to miraculously dry up.
Cries of relief rose from the crowd. It appeared a miracle was about to happen. The children even claimed they could see Saint Joseph in the sky in addition to Our Lady.
But that wasn't the only source of wonder. The crowd could suddenly look directly at the sun without hurting their eyes.
Some claimed they saw shafts of light blazing from one edge of the sky to the next. Others said they saw a variety of colors around them, as if the sun was painting the earth with brushstrokes of light.
People shouted their deepest wishes and desires. Some prayed for the health of their loved ones, others for the end of the war and the safe return of their soldiers.
As they did, the sun itself moved swiftly back and forth across the sky, as if dancing.
Many screamed in fear. Others rejoiced, assuming this was Our Lady's miracle in action, a physical manifestation of her heavenly power. They prayed out loud, crying in happiness.
Then the sun appeared to plummet from the sky.
At once, the crowd panicked. There was no mistaking the sun's movement. Everyone saw the same thing. It looked like they were about to be crushed by the sun.
But a minute or so later, the heavenly orb rose back into the sky and started dancing back and forth again, eventually coming to rest in its natural position in the sky.
There may have been varying accounts about what exactly happened during this miracle of the sun. But some of the gathered Catholics believed they saw the face of the Blessed Virgin that day, which fit with the rumors that Our Lady of Fatima was actually the Virgin Mary.
After the crowds left, the three children, for the most part, tried to get on with their lives. Lucia decided to devote herself to spreading the love of the Virgin Mary throughout the country, and she didn't have to go far to do it.
Catholics from all over Portugal continued to flock to Fatima to visit the miraculous children with a connection to heaven. The kids became pseudo-celebrities.
The cousins allegedly saw Our Lady several more times after the miracle of the sun. Jacinta reportedly interacted with her three times within a year after the miracle. Lucia said she saw her continuously throughout her life.
But many still doubted the entire story, the apparitions, the miracle, even the existence of Our Lady at all. After all, the children claimed she told them the war would end due to the miracle. But following the miracle of the sun on October 13, 1917, World War I dragged on for another entire year, ultimately ending on November 11, 1918.
And this failed prediction wasn't the only source of doubt. Nobody except the three children ever actually saw Our Lady of Fatima. In fact, it was possible that those who were present at the Cova de Iria in 1917 didn't witness a miracle at all, but rather experienced a rare psychological phenomenon.
Of course, even if the three children had concocted a story, it's unlikely that 70,000 people all coordinated to tell the same lie. Something took place in that field on October 13, 1917, even if nobody could be sure what it was.
Next time, we'll explore whether the children had ulterior motives for sharing their stories about the angel and Our Lady. We'll also examine some of the possibilities behind the miracle of the sun, including group delusion, supernatural forces, and extraterrestrial activity.
Whether it was the power of God or an alien incursion, the miracle of the sun seemingly defied everything we know about our planet.
So we're left with considering explanations that are literally out of this world. Thanks again for tuning in to Unexplained Mysteries. We will be back next time with part two of The Miracle of the Sun. For more information on The Miracle of the Sun, amongst the many sources we used, we found The True Story of Fatima by John DeMarchi extremely helpful to our research.
You can find all episodes of Unexplained Mysteries and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify.
See you next time.
And remember, never take "we don't know" for an answer.
Unexplained Mysteries is a Spotify original from Parcast. It is executive produced by Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Russell Nash, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Trent Williamson, Carly Madden, and Travis Clark. This episode of Unexplained Mysteries was written by Chelsea Gray, with writing assistance by Connor Sampson, fact-checking by Cara Mackerlin, and research by Bradley Klein. Unexplained Mysteries stars Molly Brandenburg and Richard Rossner.
Hi, listeners. It's Ashley Flowers, and here's a quick reminder to check out my new True Crime Limited series, International Infamy. Every Tuesday, I'm taking you across the globe to look at 15 of the most notorious crimes from 15 different countries.
Some stories are sure to shock, some may leave you stumped, but all are quite the trip. Follow my new series, International Infamy with Ashley Flowers. Listen for free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.